Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear five passages, A through E. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 11 through number 20. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. Finding the way. Sense of direction varies widely among individuals. Some people are excellent navigators, while others often get lost, even in familiar places. In the past, researchers monitoring rodents' brain activity found evidence suggesting navigational ability is genetically acquired. However, findings from a recent large-scale study indicated innate factors might have less importance. In this study, the researchers had participants navigate a virtual space. They found navigational ability was higher among people from Scandinavian countries, where the navigation-related sport of orienteering is popular. People living in cities where streets are not neatly arranged in grid networks also performed well, suggesting that having to navigate disorganized surroundings makes people better navigators. Scientists recognize various strategies that contribute to navigational ability, but studies have generally focused on two: route following, which involves using landmarks to navigate, and survey knowledge, which involves constructing and utilizing mental maps. While the former is easier, scientists suggest the latter is more important, as it allows for creativity to find ways around barriers and employ various navigation strategies. Furthermore, some scientists believe proficient navigators are more capable than others at switching between strategies depending on their situation. This allows them to find their way more easily in new environments.
Questions. Number 11. What did the recent study suggest about navigational ability? Number 12. What do some scientists believe about good navigators? B. The Great Smog. In the winter of 1952, a thick blanket of fog mixed with toxic fumes descended on London. What later became known as the Great Smog brought the city's transportation system to a standstill and caused chaos for several days. Smog had been occurring in London for hundreds of years as a result of coal being burned for heating and fuel. But the manufacturing boom, brought about by the Industrial Revolution, worsened the problem. Factories pumped out large amounts of noxious gases, and in December 1952, environmental conditions caused the smog to build up to an unprecedented level. The Great Smog had a negative impact on the health of city residents, with many people suffering from breathing problems after inhaling the polluted air. Those with pre-existing conditions such as pneumonia and bronchitis were particularly vulnerable, and thousands are thought to have died as a result of the incident. Following the Great Smog, greater efforts were made to tackle air pollution in London, and a few years later, the government implemented the first Clean Air Act. This designated smoke-free areas in the city and restricted the burning of coal in homes and factories.
Questions. Number 13. According to the speaker, what is true about the Great Smog? Number 14. What was one outcome of the Great Smog?
C. Micro and nanoplastics. Scientists believe that micro and nanoplastic particles, or MNPs, can now be found in most marine and terrestrial environments. And these are where MNP researchers have tended to focus. However, given that humans consume or inhale MNPs, scientists have been turning the spotlight on MNPs' effects on humans. A laboratory study investigated the dynamics between commercially available polystyrene MNPs and certain types of cancer cells found in the digestive tract. The results confirmed that the chemical composition of MNPs makes it hard to break them down, leading to MNPs persisting in the human body. The researchers also made a surprising discovery. Not only did the cancer cells take in the MNPs, but they then distributed the MNPs to new cells during the process of cell division. The results raise concerns regarding the possible long-term toxicity effects of MNP accumulation and the potential of the particles to increase the speed of cell division. Nevertheless, the researchers point out that their study had a limited scope and that the data is just a starting point. Outside observers agree that further studies are needed to understand the mechanisms at play. They recommend that such studies use MNPs that are more representative of those humans are exposed to in the real world.
Questions. Number 15. Why were the researchers in the study surprised? Number 16. What is one thing outside observers think?
D. Shoplifting. News reports these days frequently contain stories about an alleged shoplifting epidemic that is sweeping the United States. Many experts, however, believe that claims about the amount of retail theft may be greatly exaggerated. In particular, reports about a statistic known as shrink, which refers to losses in inventory, have raised various doubts. Some retailers have claimed tremendous rises in shrink and sometimes attribute them to professional shoplifting organizations. However, experts point out that shrink includes things like damaged goods, inventory control errors, and other factors unconnected to crime, and have accused the retailers of overstating the degree to which shoplifting affects shrink. Some retailers have also blamed declining profits and even store closures on increased shoplifting. Critics, however, suggest that things like overexpansion and competition from online shopping may actually be to blame in many cases. They also argue that retailers' claims may not only be inaccurate, but could also negatively impact vulnerable members of society. In recent years, reformers in the justice system have been attempting to reduce penalties for shoplifting. For example, one city stopped prosecuting low-level crimes that are associated with poverty, such as shoplifting. The perception that there is a shoplifting epidemic, however, could undermine such efforts.
Questions. Number 17. What do experts say about the numbers in shrink statistics? Number 18. What do critics suggest increased reporting on shoplifting may lead to?
E. Henrietta Leavitt. Henrietta Swan Leavitt was an early 20th century American astronomer. Using the latest photographic equipment, she studied Cepheid variables, stars that vary in brightness for specific periods. Leavitt discovered that the time it takes for a Cepheid variable to brighten and dim correlates to the star's true brightness or luminosity. Once a star's luminosity was known, it could be compared to how bright it appeared once the light reached Earth. With this information, astronomers had the foundation to apply complex calculations to measure the distances between Earth and stars with considerable precision. Leavitt and her contemporary female scientists faced institutional and societal biases. They were often poorly paid, and some observers claim prejudice meant Leavitt was not given due credit for her crucial discovery. Historically speaking, however, it is now clear how groundbreaking Leavitt's achievements were. The astronomer Edwin Hubble, for example, applied her findings to great effect. He proved that some distant patches of light, thought by some to be clouds of dust and gas, contained Cepheid variables and were, in fact, entire galaxies. In identifying galaxies other than the Milky Way, he also changed scientists' understanding of the scale of the universe.
Questions. Number 19. What is one thing we learn about Henrietta Swan Leavitt's discovery? Number 20. According to some observers, what was one problem Leavitt experienced in her career?